Well, it is Tuesday, August the 13th, and it's time for Campus Connection. I have school district officials here in the studio with me to talk about what's happening at the school board meeting tonight and other things as well. We have Superintendent Erica Kluepainter, Board President Marla Tomsky, and also Carly Johnson-McIntosh, who is the Director of Food Services. We'll be able to get an update on what's happening with the cafeterias because there's a lot of stuff happening this summer with those projects. Just to remind people, there is a regular meeting of the school board tonight, and it'll start at 6 p.m. inside the middle and high school library, and it's open to the public. But KFSK will also be broadcasting the meeting live if you can't make it there, but you want to stay informed, turn on your radio. Yeah, before the meeting starts. Oh, hold on. Let me get you live there.
At 5:30, we are starting and meeting at the elementary school cafeteria to have a tour of the progress that's going on, and then we'll move over to the Viking Cafe. So if people want to pop in and see what's going on there, they are welcome to at that time, at the 5:30 time.
So public tour at 5:30 if you want to see the renovations at the cafeterias. Starts at the grade school.
Mm-hmm.
5:30.
Yep.
Should we get a little update now since we're talking about the tour, Carly?
Yeah. Okay. So we are, we're going to notice some changes at the beginning of the school year. We're not going to be able to be into the elementary cafeteria yet. So we will be trying to rearrange some of our eating situations for the elementary kiddos. They will be potentially outside underneath the covered area.
That's al fresco.
Yes.
That's right.
They'll be eating al fresco.
Love it.
So this will be for the first month of school. For roughly, we're hoping less than 6 weeks, but, you know, that's what we're planning on for right now. And then our fourth and fifth grade will actually eat in the Viking Cafe. So it will be interesting. Mm-hmm. Our breakfast will be served outside for the elementary kids in the same location. And then the elementary has a fresh fruits and vegetable program that we do through the state also, and they will be getting that about 9:30, 9:45 in the morning.
And that's delivered to their classroom.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so the fourth and fifth grade, they'll be moving, walking over, I guess.
Yep. Fifth grade will be finishing with their swimmer gym and come right over, and then fourth grade will come in after the recess.
Yeah,
I guess they'll feel like big kids then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were talking
making
about
the move.
Schedules yesterday, and we figured out that that might actually work just pretty well and not overlap with middle school and all that, but it'll be some interesting logistics just for those first few weeks of school. So anyway.
When that is complete, I know we've had news stories on it already, but when these renovations are complete, it will look different. I myself saw, you know, kind of the construction going on, and It's really going to be different. Basically two rooms instead of one, and separating, like we said, separating the kiddos where they're eating, separate from where the cooking and serving's happening, and a lot of other changes too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it will really help with all the DEC regulations, the safety controls, all of that. Providing healthy, safe food for our kids and making sure that we are, you know, following all the regulations and making sure that they have better food and better quality, and this will help all of that.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure the kids will be excited to see those changes. Yeah.
It's very exciting.
Okay. What else should we talk about?
Well, I was thinking maybe while Carly's here, I think she has to go take her daughter somewhere. So one of the other agenda items on there is also Mara had wanted to talk a little bit about as well, just encouraging families to make sure that they do get out there and sign their, you know, kids up and for free or reduced lunch. So maybe Carly could talk a little bit about that too, and maybe just even a little bit about kind of the reimbursement process, how it works. People ask questions about that a lot, like what does it really look like and mean, and she's really the expert, so we thought we'd just bring her along today and see.
So the first plug-in, so it's really easy to apply for free or reduced meals. You go to schoolcafe.com, that's a nationwide site, and then you have to click on, you know, Alaska Petersburg, and then we get the information. If you accidentally put another school, I will not be able to see that information. So if I don't respond to you somehow, it's in the wrong school, which we have had one issue of that. We fixed it. They just redid the application. So yeah, you just go to schoolcafe.com and start the process there. You're going to want to do apply for free and reduced benefits, not enroll your child. They also do a a whole nother point of service platform, which we don't partake in that because that's not what we have. It doesn't work with our software. So it's really easy. And then there's also the migrant education. And so that is if families are out fishing for subsistence or commercial outside of the borough for a total of 8 days, 7 nights, families can qualify for that. I am a great point of contact for that information also. So my email is cjohnson@pcsd.us. You can easily email me or give us a holler, and we can help you with any of those forms.
Mm-hmm. And is that a separate application? They
yes.
shouldn't use School Cafe if they are feel like they are qualified for migrant ed. They should contact you directly, correct?
Yes. Migrant education is a completely separate program. We actually do not approve students on that. We give the state the information, and then they tell us the approval. Mm-hmm. So it's a little longer process, but the benefits usually last for 3 years from their qualifying end date, which is when they get back into the district. So it's a great program. There's extra funding in that program that we're able to do some education help with, some tutoring and all of that with. So that helps.
So I was going to ask you, is that that's not food services what we're talking about? That's separate?
Yes, that okay. is. That is. It's under my umbrella of stuff I dabble in, but it is completely separate from food service. One of the benefits of migrant education is you get free meals. So that's how that ties into mm-hmm. it. So that's a great benefit, and then there's other benefits with it.
Yeah,
wow,
so
8 days doesn't seem like that long. I mean, really, for Alaskans, mm-hmm. there's so many Alaskans that...
Well, you have to be out doing qualifying activities.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So it can't just be that you spent time out of the borough on vacation.
Right,
but
if, fishing.
Yeah, if
you
your
know.
Kiddos were out on the fishing boat, you know, helping you earn money this summer, or even just providing for your family and... subsistence lifestyles as well. Those those qualify and they add up.
Yep.
Yeah.
And there's some boundaries that are pretty specific to it as well that allow people to qualify. So Carly does have all of that information if people have any questions about that, but it is an important benefit in addition to educational support and other kinds of supports for students who are identified as migrant students in our state. But the free, having free meals is one of the advantages. So
mm-hmm. And then for the free and reduced lunches, like you said, that's income-based, right? And
yes.
then if you apply, you don't have to choose. They'll look at your income and kind of decide if you could be free or reduced.
Yes.
That
yes.
kind of thing.
And then so the ones that have just already applied, the few applications we've already gotten, I have their approval or denial letters, whatever they might be, and then I will send those out at the end of this week. So I try to batch them together instead of going to the post office every day. Mm-hmm. I try to do it, you know, every 2 weeks I'll send out the letters. So, and then they're pretty easy. If you apply online, you can log back in and see if you've been approved or not also.
Mm-hmm.
So, and currently right now we're only accepting online applications. We have to get our paper application approved by the state, and we haven't gotten that back yet. So it's all online right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I am, I mean, the reason that I put it on the agenda to speak about is that we really want to encourage anyone, even if they think that they might be borderline or they think that they earn too much income, we're still asking that people apply. The number of applications gets counted into when they look at our district, like how many people actually applied, how many people were denied, how many people were qualified. So they take all of those factors in. So we want everyone to apply, even if they think that they're going to receive a denial letter. We still just encourage you to please apply. The participation numbers really help in that sense. So just mm-hmm. log on, schoolcafe.com, you know, put in your information and see what it kicks out. And the biggest benefit that I have found with free and reduced lunch is that the amount that we're getting paid back for that lunch is more than you would pay as a full-paying parent for the meal. So it's even providing our school even more of a benefit than what you can provide. Because if I went in and sent my kids with enough money for school lunch, you know, say that's $3.50, and that's the amount that I give to the district. If my child were to qualify for either free or reduced, the federal government is actually paying at a higher rate than that. So the school is earning more money if your child does qualify for free or reduced lunch than what you could provide the school district. So it's like a benefit, you are benefiting the school district more than you know if your child does qualify. So,
yeah, it also helps with federal programs. So Title I federal support for students, they base that amount of funding for each district is based on the free and reduced numbers. So it's just another benefit there as well. I don't know. Carly, did you have anything else about...
To explain how, so food service, we are a nonprofit program. We basically provide the meals and we are paid back by the federal government based on claiming and the regulations and all of that. So we're kind of convoluted, but for every meal served, we get a rate of reimbursement. So whether it's a breakfast or a lunch, and then if it's a free, reduced, or paid meal. And then our after-school program is actually an at-risk youth program. And so we get a higher reimbursement for that. So because we have the after-school program, we're able to not raise our lunch prices based on the income equity documents. Really confusing. We would have to raise our school lunches to about $4.25, which we don't want to do. We want to keep it at $3.50. So having that after-school program that comes in and brings us a little more, that's keeping our hot lunches and our breakfast prices down.
Well, I'm glad you have that all figured out.
The amazing Carly.
Sounds like you can help. I mean, parents can actually help the school district out by participating in those services.
And you get great meals.
Yeah.
So cheaper meals plus the feel-good of helping the district.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, to jump into the school board meeting tonight, I guess what's on the agenda, what I noticed was kind of some, just talking about shuffling some positions at the elementary school, and there's a couple new teachers there that are on the agenda just to, I guess, finalize contracts. New kindergarten teacher and new fifth grade teacher. And then moving...
New fourth grade teacher.
Is it fourth grade?
Both.
Well, fourth and fifth. Shuffling around.
Yes.
New hires.
Kind of shuffling around.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, a couple new hires.
Yeah, lots of changes in staff over the summer. And part of that we anticipated because we knew at the end of the year that we hadn't 100% nailed down a special education teacher. The one that we had looked to hire ended up falling through because of their own personal...
Family issues.
Family issues. So we went into the summer knowing that that position was open and we were still going to be... procuring for that position. And so then, you know, with anything, even with jobs here in the city, one opening creates, you know, so many other openings. So once Heidi Cabral decided that that's where she wanted to go into a special education teacher, then that created a couple of cascading openings for the move around in the elementary school. And then, and then that opened up another position to be hired, which ended up being a kindergarten position. And then with Sarah Dunn's resignation just recently, then that opened up for a temporary hire. So we can talk individually about each one if you like.
Well, it kind of all started with Heather Kahn moving from special education to the principal position, which opened up that special education teacher position that you were talking about.
Exactly.
So this will be her first year?
It's her first year. She's plunging in, and she's really had quite an interesting summer.
Well, she's had, she has quite had an interesting summer on top of everything else that she does during the summer. But just meeting with her a few times, she just really has some great ideas going into this school year. So she has a lot of things that she's going to take on. So the elementary school can look to that. You know, I don't think that she's just going to be sitting back
and
like taking her first year as it comes. She's really going to go after the goals that she wants for the elementary school. So that'll be exciting.
It is. It's very exciting. And I think one of the things that was very interesting dealing with or looking at that special ed position at the beginning of the summer after the first teacher was not able to fulfill the contract, one of the offshoots of all of this frustrating dealings with budgets is that we actually did do a process where we had offered the position to another qualified teacher from down south, and she was very interested in coming and had been up here before. And I mean, you know, anyway, it looked like it was going to be a really great fit. And ultimately, she did make the decision not to take the job based on the instability in the state. And so she really made the decision ultimately, and we didn't want to, I mean, we can't sugarcoat what's going on up here either, because we don't have the answers still. I mean, even now, I mean, as you guys are all reporting here. So that, I think, was just a perfect and very disappointing, you know, offshoot of what's going on in our state. So that was one of the first times I mean, we've been dealing with lots of things, but that was one of those, like, right in your face, this person actually made that decision based on the instability, you know, within our state. So that was frustrating, but very excited about Heidi coming into that job, so, and all the people that we have.
And just to go back onto the instability within teachers and hiring, and you know, we pride ourselves on being one of the most sought after districts in Alaska, especially like in the Southeast. We oftentimes have teachers that have said, well, I've heard, you know, applicants that have said, well, I've heard through all of Alaska that Petersburg is the place to be and the place to teach. So to know that that disruption is happening, where a teacher wouldn't choose to come in because of what's happening with the uncertainty of what the budget might look like next year for education, is really disheartening. And it, and if you know that it's happening on our level, which I don't want to, I do want to toot our horn because, you know, I love the, our school district, but if it's happening already on our level, you know that it's happening on the districts that are less desirable. You know that it's happening, and it's very difficult for teachers in Western Alaska and in very rural areas of Alaska to be hiring teachers and to be hiring principals and whatnot, that they're not homegrowing themselves.
Yeah, if, I'm sure if you were a teacher down in the lower 48 and you had a couple different options, you would be looking at some of those things, the stability issue, like what does this look like for two or three years from now, not just one year.
Exactly. And that's where she finally landed, you know, which we couldn't argue with. And the other thing that's also another offshoot is that she was, you know, the unfortunate changes that have happened with the retirement system up here and all those kinds of things, and even salaries, where, I mean, we have very reasonable salaries, and we have a lot of other things about our district that are attractive to teachers. We have good class sizes. We have, you know, strong administration. We have lots of supports for teachers here. And it's a desirable place to be, as Mara said. But ultimately, you know, when you start taking all those factors into account, it's it is happening. We are going to be dealing with teacher shortage. That's just a fact. So we're super grateful for the amazing people that we have locally, and that we are continuing to kind of keep growing our own people here. I mean, Hillary Mullen was an aide for us last year, and she's, you know, was very excited and right here in town, and applied for that job. So we're very fortunate still with people that we have locally, but we are going to continue to see these kinds of challenges. It's just the way it is.
Well, the story is out. The national news outlets have taken notice, and, you know, USA Today and other national media outlets have picked up on the state budget issues because they're so extreme that, you know, the story's out there. So
exactly.
Sometimes you see things go to Washington area, but it's beyond that too.
For sure. Frustrating.
So then there's a new fifth grade teacher, Carla Green. Is she local or from out of town?
She moved to town a year or so ago.
Yeah.
I mean, she's been around for a few years.
Yep, she's been here.
She was a long-term sub in fifth grade in Ms. Dem's classroom when Ms. Dem's had personal leave that she took
in the spring.
And so she's familiar with the fifth grade classroom. She's familiar with
the staff and the school.
Everyone was doing,
Yep, which is also really nice. And, you know, again, just very fortunate that she was interested and available. And after Ms. Dems made the decision, you know, at this point to resign for different reasons in her own life and her own family life. So we are sad to see Ms. Dems go, of course. Very, very sad. She's been a wonderful addition to the elementary school program. So sad to see her go. Wish her all the best, of course. And but grateful that Miss Green is here and ready to step in, and she'll be a good addition to the staff. So we're fortunate. Yeah, fortunate.
What about the middle and high school? Are there new teachers over there? No.
I don't think there were any other changes over the summer.
No official new teachers, but I know that the middle school has, like Miss Evans is going to be teaching a sixth grade class. I mean, mm-hmm. there was some shifting around amongst their staff. So
yeah,
teachers who
true.
Maybe had only been teaching like high school classes might be teaching a few middle school classes. So
that's
shifting
right.
in that sense, but not in the sense of like a brand new teacher to that staff.
Yeah, so. That's right. Mr. Thompson is did some training this summer with the code.org that the state is doing some partnership on, and I think we talked a little bit about it last year, but middle and high school requires a little bit more training, and so he did go to that training in June, and so he'll be offering, we're going to be offering that opportunity in the high school and also to our middle school students. So that is new for him to be doing that with middle school, so we're excited about that. Yeah, and I don't think there's any other new things in the middle and high school, so plenty of action in the elementary.
Yeah. And then also tonight at the school board meeting, one of the things that you will be talking about are the results of the student assessment tests, which are the statewide test
mm-hmm.
called PEAKS.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been 2 years ago that they started that. So
yep. This was our third year doing it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we did, and I actually did just forward you the overview. These are the very, I mean, like 20 minutes ago, I just forwarded them to you. So, but these are the very sort of high level, just the district, you know, kind of view for now. And then the results are coming and we'll get those out to parents at the beginning of September. But pleased with the progress in our district. We... Two things I wanted to say about it, and then I can talk more tonight, but one is that we did make the intentional decision last year to do paper and pencil, not the computer based. So it was the third year of PEAKS, but we made the decision to do paper and pencil. And there were a couple reasons. One of them had to do with the way that the students were interacting with the interface of the test. We were not thrilled with a couple of things that we were finding. Kids did not know certain parts about the writing sections that it wasn't intuitive, so they weren't responding the way that they could. So they were finishing way too early. We knew they were, not all, but some, and we thought, what is going on? Anyway, so we watched a couple things that we were concerned about that way. No major glitches or anything like that. I mean, the system itself actually has worked fine, but and we have done just fine in our district because we have good infrastructure and good technology, but we made that decision intentionally, and it shows. I mean, our scores are, I mean, they're not perfect. They're not where, you know, we totally want them to be, but you can see a pretty substantial increase. So
that's
one
interesting.
Thing.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Just mm-hmm. doing it with paper and pencil.
It was very, very interesting to watch. And then just watching the kids with the writing, and there's a lot of research out there. I mean, ACT, SCT still has, there's a handwritten section on there too. So there's a lot of research about that. So, you know we can't, we don't bury our heads about technology, but we also have to look at, reading the research about what happens. So we made that decision intentionally, and I think it paid off. We know our kids spent more time on the assessment. We watched them take it. I mean, watch their interaction with that versus taking it with the computer assisted. So that was interesting to note. So.
Well, with the third year of data, then you can start to kind of look at progress a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, that every year you do it,
mm-hmm.
you'll have a better comprehensive look at
mm-hmm.
the district.
I think so, too. And then the other thing that we were pleased with was they had added these new text-dependent analysis items it's fourth grade and up. And those were very specific. It's a very specific part of the new goals and that each for English language arts that were outlined in 2015, but very intentionally having to teach kids how to do that, and it's a certain type of writing and it's a certain way of looking at what you're reading and how you respond to it, and very intentional work by our teachers with our students on that, and again I think it really shows in the data, so we're pleased overall.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I'll just pipe in my own two cents about PEAKS is if you've been following along in this journey of state-chosen evaluations of mm-hmm. students, because this is the state's, they're the ones who pick this test. Mm-hmm. They go through the process of finding and procuring the test, and then they mandate that all school districts assess this test and give them back that data. This is the test that came out of the AMP debacle. So if you have heard of that, we had just a few years ago a completely different test that hadn't been vetted out or tried out amongst nationally, you know, rolled out nationally.
Right.
And that was the year that actually half of our students got canceled because the location wasn't able to administer the test. And previous to AMP, we had a different version of what the state was evaluating our students on. So that's why we always talk at the school board meetings that this is one moment in time.
Yep.
This is one test.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot put all of our eggs in this basket of this evaluation. When PEAKS first rolled out, there were problems with inconsistencies as to how they were evaluating the kids when you matched those against nationally accredited tests like the ACT and the SAT. It just wasn't matching up. Our students were doing not as well on this PEAKS test when they would go and ace the ACT or ace the SAT. So we need to keep it in mind. This should not, even though it is, be used as a tool for evaluating whether a school district is proficient or whether a school district is being successful. Really, this is just a moment. And just like Erica said, you know, we hear complaints all the time. Why do we teach to a test? We hear that from parents, that we don't want to be teaching kids to just take a test.
Right.
And you just heard, there is one section of the test that specifically you kind of have to teach to if you want to score well. And so we just need to evaluate that tests are really have to be seen as part of a whole picture. We can't just say, well, look at this data, Petersburg's not successful, because we know that's not true.
Right.
This data just shows small parts of what's going on within the district and what's going on with our students and whether they are successful or not. And who says that a student who does poorly on a test evaluation isn't successful in some form or fashion? So just
Keep it in perspective.
Absolutely. And I will tell you, just on that, on the text-dependent analysis section in specifically, we actually had some very pointed conversations, just to back up exactly what you're saying, with the Department of Education when they were really talking a lot about this. And it took a lot of convincing. I mean, our staff, we will do what is right here always, but we will always ask critical questions, and we asked a lot of critical questions about this. And once we were reassured on our end, I mean, when we're able to look and go, oh no, this is just good instruction and it's intentional instruction, and we and our language arts experts were like, no, this is what we're supposed to be doing, this is what we already do and we can enhance that, we were like, okay, we're in. But yeah, that's, I agree, you have to keep it in perspective and context all the time. And really, we don't want to be doing something for the sake of just doing it.
Just a moment in time, like you say.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us for Campus Connection today. And we will be hearing more about what's going on at the school district at the meeting tonight. It's at 6 o'clock in the middle and high school library. It's open to the public. So if you want to go to the meeting, you can do that. Otherwise, KFSK will be broadcasting it live.
Sounds good. Thank you.
We'll see you there.
Sounds good.
And stay with us here on KFSK. Ross Nenick III is here to host Street Beat. That'll be coming up next.